Hey, before I begin, I just was thinking about this morning when I woke up. Today is day one of my 7th year here. So I just want to say, that's not what I said. I just want to say how thankful I am to be here, how much I enjoy serving with you all. And it seems like just, oh, I don't know, 15 years ago that we started together. No, seems like yesterday. So I was just thinking about that this morning. I was like, oh, September 2nd. I think my first official day was September 1st. So it's great to be back. Now, that's the good news. The bad news is that I only have 6 years worth of sermons. So, but that's the bad news or the good news. But the other news is you won't remember anything that I said 6 years ago anyway. So it'll sound all new to you. So it's great. It's just that I get to play more video games. No. All right. So we're wrapping up today the sermon of series. Yes, the series of sermons from the book of Proverbs. And I mentioned last Sunday that I kind of enjoy the little short pithy ones, like the two-line sayings, the ones that sort of paint a picture in my mind when I read them and when I think about how to apply them in my life. And so those are the ones that I have mostly selected, the idea of, you know, that where there is no ox, the trough is clean, but much strength comes through the ox, thinking about much increase comes through the strength of the ox. And then last week talking about different ones. But today I picked another one that sort of is unusual, one that you probably have not heard a sermon on before, and that is Proverbs 25:16, which says, "Have you found honey? Eat only as much as you need, lest you be filled with it and vomit." All right? So, have you found honey? Eat only as much as you need, lest you be filled with it and vomit. Probably none of you have heard a sermon on this particular one. And I didn't know, does anybody know how many times the word vomit is used in Proverbs? Anybody want to guess how many times we see vomit in Proverbs? Well, not literally see vomit in Proverbs, that would be gross, but that we read of it. In the New King James Version anyway, anybody want to guess how many times? No? Who said three? Three, you win the prize. Congratulations, you win the prize. The more well-known one probably than this one is that one about a dog returning to its vomit. There's one of those in Proverbs, and you see that sometimes in real life, and I think, oh, that's so disgusting. Don't lick my face for 25 more years. That is so gross. And that's an interesting one too, but I wanted to do this one, and I want to say sort of why I landed on this one. I was looking for one more to do, and I listen to a lot of podcasts, listen to a lot of sermons and stuff out there. So if you have interesting podcasts that you've landed on, even if they're not sermons, just I landed on another one called American History Tellers that I've been listening to over the last few weeks. If you've got any interesting things, let me know what it is, because I just enjoy listening to that while I'm doing stuff and working in the yard or whatever I might be doing. But one of the ones that I listen to now, again, I picked it up again, is the Ravi Zacharias podcast. And his podcast is called Let My People Think. And I don't know if any of you have Many of you know, I think, who Ravi Zacharias is, and he has this podcast called Let My People Think, and I was listening to that probably 6 or 7 weeks ago, and he said something that just grabbed my attention, and he used this particular proverb to illustrate it, and I thought, you know, I just want to share that with you guys. I want to share that sentence with you, and then he didn't really give a sermon on it. He just kind of talked about it, and I thought, you know, I want to fill this out a little bit and flesh this out a little bit, and here's the sentence from Ravi Zacharias. He says, "Any pleasure, no matter how good, if not kept in balance," so any pleasure, no matter how good, if not kept in balance, "will distort reality or destroy appetite." And I heard that sentence and I thought, yes, that is so true. That any good thing in our lives, and I believe that God desires to bring many good things into our lives, but if we don't keep that in balance, or as we're going to talk about in a little bit, if we go out of our way to pursue that beyond other things, or even pursue that in an unhealthy way, it will distort reality, and it will destroy the appetite for that particular thing that we thought was so important in our lives. And when I was listening to his podcast, the thing that I thought of was bologna sandwiches. For years growing up, anybody else think of bologna sandwiches when you read that? For years growing up as a child, I had a bologna sandwich once or twice a day. Now, in my house growing up, we didn't have mayonnaise. We only had Miracle Whip. So I didn't really know there was a thing called mayonnaise. I thought Miracle Whip was mayonnaise. And so my bologna sandwich was two pieces of Oscar Mayer bologna, white bread, smeared with Miracle Whip. I don't really do Miracle Whip anymore. I've converted over to a mayonnaise. I'm a mayonnaise guy now as opposed to a Miracle Whip person. But I never didn't do mayonnaise. Didn't do mayonnaise. Only did Miracle Whip. And day after day after day after day after day, I would have one or two of these sandwiches. And then one day, and I don't remember exactly when it happened, one day, the thought of biting into a bologna sandwich with Miracle Whip made me nauseous. I don't know how it happened. I just got sick of them. And it took me probably a number of years until I ever ventured back in to the world of bologna sandwiches. I had had bologna sandwiches so much. I had taken that pleasure and I had too much of a good thing over and over to where something flipped in my brain. I don't understand how it happened. It wasn't like I at one point ate like 27 of them in a row or something like that. You know, I couldn't even hardly stand the smell of bologna anymore. And so when I thought about what Ravi Zacharias said, that any pleasure, no matter how good, can ultimately lead, if it's out of balance, can lead to destroying the appetite or destroying reality, I thought, yeah, that's true. I think that's true in all of our lives in one way or another. I have another story about fudgesicles, but it's still too painful for me to recount. So I'm going to leave that for another time. My mom, I kept begging her for fudgesicles, and so she finally said, all right, have as many as you want. Ate too many. But I still like fudgesicles, so that's okay. I'm okay with that. Come on, now, I want you to think about this for a second while you're staring at a bologna sandwich. Is there anything in your life right now? Is there any pleasure that you're engaged in or that you are pursuing? That if you were honest with yourself, or maybe there's somebody else in your life that could be honest with you, and maybe they're trying to tell you this and you're not listening, you'd say, you know what, that's out of balance. That's out of whack. That's become more important to you than it ought to be. The proverb says, have you found honey? There's nothing wrong with the honey. But don't eat too much of it. Because if you eat too much of it, you're going to vomit it. Or you're going to destroy your appetite. Or it's going to distort reality. And this has been true in my life. And I know that it's been true in your life. And there's probably at least a few people here this morning that you're already thinking, oh, yeah. Yeah. It's difficult in our world because of the next slide. The next slide says that we live in a time and place where pleasure is at a premium. Right? We live in a time and a place where we are goaded, we are moved, we are encouraged to pursue pleasure. We are encouraged to experience pleasure. We are encouraged to do whatever we can to make ourselves feel good. And we live in a time, particularly us, in a time and a place where most of us have resources to go get it. Right? Most of us have the resources that we need to go get many of the things that we want to bring us pleasure. Now, you know, most of us probably don't have the ability to go get the 100-foot yacht and all that sort of stuff, but there are many things that we can pursue on our own because of the resources that we have that other people who simply are trying to just simply eke out a living or eke out, you know, something on $2 a day or whatever they might live in other parts of the world, they don't really have a lot of time to pursue pleasure. They don't have a lot of time to be involved in those things that are outside of just simple, daily, ordinary life struggles. But most of us do. We have the resources, and we have a society that moves us towards getting the things that make us feel good. But if we found honey and we eat too much of it, we can vomit it. If we look at pleasure, if we pursue pleasure, and we pursue it in a way that is out of bounds, it can distort reality. It even destroy the appetite. Now, I'm not anti-pleasure. I don't think God is anti-pleasure. David wrote here in Psalm 16:11, now you will show me the path of life. He's speaking to God here. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I fully believe that God intends for us to enjoy him and to enjoy one another and to enjoy the creation that he has given to us. God is not a cosmic killjoy. God wants us to experience pleasure. God wants us to experience joy. But the danger is in going too far, or the danger is in making that our goal in life. So I have just a few things from that proverb. Have you found honey? A couple of things that I want to talk about and hopefully spin it out into some other areas of our lives this morning. So the very first thought is simply that pleasure is better found than sought. Now, I might be reading a lot into the proverb. Simply, it just says, have you found honey? I don't know whether the particular person was out looking for the honey or whether they just happened to be walking by and found a honeycomb. I know back in those times when David was writing, they weren't finding jars of honey at the grocery store. But I have a feeling that, for me, pleasure is better found than sought. Right? It's better to find pleasure. It's better for pleasure to be a byproduct of life or byproduct of our activity than it is to be a goal of ours. Because I think that when it becomes a goal, if it is our life desire to find pleasure or to experience pleasure in this area or others, it can lead us to going in an unhealthy direction. I believe that God wants us to experience pleasure. God has pleasure for us, but it is really more of a collateral thing that comes into our lives as we follow him and as we do that which God desires. If we set out to desire pleasure, this next slide can often come true. If we are bound to find pleasure, like if that is just where I'm going in my life, or this particular area of my life, or this particular time of my life, we are likely to push through the boundaries that are designed to protect us. If we are bound and determined to experience pleasure in this area or that area, it is easy for us to push through the boundaries that God has laid out for us, the guardrails, if you will, that God has put along our lives, whether they be commands from his word, whether they be evidences of his character or nature, whether they be the counsel of a friend or a loved one or a family member or a coworker. If I'm just bound to experience that pleasure, If I'm bound to get that new toy or that new car or that new thing, there's nothing wrong with new toys and new cars, but if I somehow see that as the goal in my life, I'm probably going to do whatever I can to get it. And I might be quick to push through a boundary that God has established. And you can probably think in your own life right now, and we can all think of other people as well who we know have pushed through boundaries to get something that they really had no business getting in the first place. Or to get something that they thought perhaps they should have or that they deserved or that they really wanted, but it wasn't working out and doors were not opening and things were not happening. But because they were or we were driven for that, we just kept pushing through and pushing through. Because we sought it. And I want to ask you to consider the idea of pleasure. That pleasure is better found than sought. Pleasure is better acquired when we have something else that we're looking for. Something else that we're engaged in. When we're looking out for the interests of others. In a marriage, pleasure is found when we're seeking the benefit of our spouse. Pleasure is found when we're seeking the benefit of other people or when we're seeking to please God, and then pleasure comes along and we realize, ah, it's right there. I found the honey. It's there for me. But when we seek it, we are prone to push through those boundaries. God says that pleasure that is sought outside of the plan and purpose of God will ultimately not lead to satisfaction. I'm not a particular fan of honey. You know, I'm not going to sit down with a jar of honey and eat it. I'm not even sure I eat an ounce of honey in a year that I know of. I mean, maybe it's in different things that people make or whatever, but I'm just not a honey person. I don't like honey on my cereal, or I don't drink tea, so I don't like honey in my tea. I'm probably missing out on a lot of stuff. Maybe you guys can help me figure out how I can introduce honey into my life, but I was thinking about this verse And this is familiar to many of you. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. See, the desires of your heart are not really the things to go out and pursue. Really, what we want to do is delight ourselves in the Lord. We want to follow him. We want to follow his precepts, his ways, and engage in community with his people. And then he will give us the desires of our heart. I don't believe that God desires for us to go pursue the honey. Rather, God says, you know, if you'll pursue me, I'll bring those things into your life. And I'll bring those things into your life in a way that will not harm you. In a way that is designed to help you and to enrich your life. But how many times can we get that out of whack? And we think, this is the pleasure that I have to have. And it destroys reality. Distorts reality. And destroys the appetite. Another thought that I had is that pleasure just doesn't really satisfy. I mean, honey doesn't have all the things you need. And I don't know if you sit down and eat a bowl of honey, but when you're done eating the bowl of honey, it's not got what it doesn't have, you know, the vitamin C and the vitamin A. And now I have no idea what I'm talking about. I have no idea what's in honey. Okay, really, I don't know. I'm sorry. I do know that if you eat a dozen Krispy Kreme donuts, you will have 96% of your vitamin C for the day. I do know that. I used that to sell a bunch at Walmart one day. Yeah. It's true. Each one of those rascals is 8% of your vitamin C for the day. So 8 times 12 is 96%. So I don't struggle with honey. But here's what I struggle with sometimes. How many of us have gotten that bag of chips, sat down in front of the television or the internet, and thought, I'm just going to eat a couple of handfuls? And then 15 to 30 minutes later, we're staring into the bottom of an empty bag of potato chips. But you know what? Potato chips don't really satisfy. They don't really satisfy. And when you're finished eating that bag of potato chips that you only intended. Now, I may or may not have had the same experience with a half gallon of ice cream, but, well, it's not even a half gallon anymore, whatever you get. What do you get, 1.5 quarts nowadays, I think it is? Do you know a serving of ice cream is only a half a cup? Yeah, go home and read your carton. A half a cup. It's ridiculous. I'm eating like 10 servings of ice cream every time I sit down to eat. Anyway, I'm off track. Have you ever had that feeling? Have you ever eaten that bag of chips? And it usually don't feel too bad when you finish the bag. But like 30 minutes later, right? All that fat and sodium begins to get processed in your system. And it's like, oh, why did I do that? Because it doesn't really satisfy. But did you know, this is so interesting, there's research that people have done on the human brain as it relates to food, and I put this word in here because I was afraid I was going to get it wrong. Oh, wait a minute. You know what? I didn't put it in here. I'm sorry. It's the word hyperpalatability. Hyperpalatability. And what that means is that there are certain foods that your body really craves, certain foods that are high in fat, high in sugar, high in salt, that they actually, those foods sort of override or defeat the natural feedback loop that your brain has for, you know, to get back to you that says, you know, shut up the bag, put away the fork, whatever it is. There are certain foods that actually short-circuit that process. And so instead of the brain sending you the signals that says, hey, knock it off, stop, you're full, cut it out, it's too much, those signals don't really come, or the body is able to just sort of, the brain just, it doesn't work. And I think for me anyway, potato chips is one of those. Ice cream is certainly one of those for me. Liver is not one of those for me. But this is the way pleasure works. You see, when we're engaging to seek after pleasure, When we sit down and we think, I'm only going to go this far, and I'm going to stop, we don't get the feedback loop. Or we have the ability to ignore the feedback loop. And so we continue to engage, and we continue to take it in, or we continue to pursue it, and we push through the boundaries that sometimes we've even set for ourselves because we've already been down this road before and we don't want to get to the destination. But it doesn't really satisfy, and so we just keep on going and keep on trying to get more and more, and it doesn't satisfy, and eventually we just vomit. Or eventually we lose the relationship. Or eventually we declare bankruptcy. Or eventually we scream or strike at someone that we never thought we would do. Because we pursued the pleasure, and it never really satisfies. You know, pleasure is not an end. It's not the end goal. Yes, God has pleasures for us. But there is no exhortation to go out there and just seek after pleasure. Because God knows that if we do that, we will push through boundaries that ultimately will bring our demise. And let me just wrap this up with a little bit of review. Again, too much pleasure often leads to a bad consequence. Too much pleasure often leads to a bad consequence. Too many bologna sandwiches lead to a bad consequence. Too many fudgesicles lead to a bad consequence. Let me remind you of what Ravi Zacharias said again. Pleasure can definitely distort reality and destroy appetite. Probably the greatest illustration and tragedy in American culture today, that this one fits in, and I'm going to keep this as G-rated as possible, is pornography. Right? The statistics are almost impossible to comprehend of the number of people, especially men, though growing numbers of women, who seek pleasure in that way. And though the research is somewhat mixed, when it is engaged in routinely or regularly, it almost always distorts reality. I was listening to a podcast, again, some number of months ago, about a husband and a wife, and he had been engaging in porn since he was about 11 and kept it hidden. Got married, had a couple of kids, kept it all hidden for a number of years, and finally was discovered, as it almost always is at some point. And his wife tragically decided that she needed to change. She needed to become that figure for him. And so she changed the way she dressed. She changed her attitude. She changed the way she related to him. And what she found and what they both found is that this didn't work. There was no longer any appetite. The reality was distorted. And ultimately, that couple ended up in divorce. But this is true in so many areas of our lives. I think about it in terms of money and finances and acquiring things, right? We want to have those pleasures, and we want to make sure that we have what everybody else has and what the neighbors have and all that sort of stuff, or what the Facebook friends have. And so we go out for it, but it doesn't ever really satisfy, and it distorts reality. We all of a sudden then get the credit card bills, or we get the bankruptcy notices, or we get all of that stuff, and it's just, what did I do? And then many people have gone down the path of pursuing something of pleasure, and they finally arrived at it. And they realize it doesn't satisfy. So, what do you do if you're there this morning? If you're going down a pleasure path that you know you shouldn't be going down, and maybe nobody else knows, what do you do? How do you get out of that? If you're lingering too long at the jar of honey, and you don't want to vomit, You don't want that to happen to you, and you don't want that to happen to those around you. What do you do? Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to give you an example. I forgot. This is the best biblical example I know of this idea of destroying appetite. 2 Samuel chapter 13. Some of you may be familiar with this particular text. David's son Amnon, no doubt privileged, probably spoiled brat, son of a king, and a half-sister Tamar. And he wants her, and you know what I mean by that. And so he and a friend devise a plan. And read this with me. Now, when she had, not out loud with me, but when she had brought them to him, so they cooked up this scheme for her to bring him, for him to pretend to be sick, and for her to bring him some food to serve him. And they'd be alone together in his bedroom. So when she had brought them, the food to him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, "Come lie with me, my sister." But she answered him, "No, my brother, do not force me. For no such thing should be done in Israel. Do not do this disgraceful thing. And I, where could I take my shame? And as for you, you would be like one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you." However, he would not heed her voice, and being stronger than she, he forced her and lay with her. And then look at verse 15. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly. What? No. He wanted her exceedingly. That's what it ought to say. And they went on to live happily. No, of course it's not going to say that. But in the space between verses 14 and 15, the Bible says he hated her exceedingly. So the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, "Arise, be gone." So she said to him, "No, indeed, the evil of sending me away is worse than the other that you did to me." He would not listen to her. Then he called a servant who attended him and said, "Here, put this woman out, away from me, and bolt the door behind her." What happened? Appetite was destroyed. And if you don't have a testimony similar to this in some area of your life, you probably know someone who does. That when we have pursued pleasure, when we have gone outside the boundaries, when we finally get it, it doesn't satisfy. And it can be destructive. Not only to us, but to others as well. So what do you do? What do you do? Just three little words. Repent. Maybe even right now, today, this morning between you and God. God, I am going down a path. I am pursuing something that I have no business pursuing. I am pursuing something that I know you do not want me to pursue. I have ignored the counsel of those around me. I have decided that this is what I want to go get. But today I have realized I don't want this anymore. Repent. Now, this can be between you and God. But let me encourage you, if this is something that is a pleasure that you have been pursuing continually and you have repented before and you have tried to get away from it and it just keeps clutching, I encourage you as strongly as I can to find somebody that you can tell. Find somebody that you love and somebody who loves you, somebody that you can trust, and share it with them as part of your repentance. It's so much more powerful many times than just doing it on your own. Put aside the shame, put aside the embarrassment. If you really, really want to stop pursuing this pleasure, repent. Another word that, and these don't necessarily, one's not necessarily more important than the other, is replace. Remember I said pleasure is better found than sought. So life doesn't, we don't operate in a vacuum. It's very difficult for us just to take stuff out without putting stuff in to take its place. So replace that. Whatever it is that you think is moving you to go outside of the bounds to acquire that particular pleasure, replace it with something that God has for you to do. Replace it for something that where it says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Go to God and say, God, help me to understand how to replace this unhealthy passion that I have, this unhealthy drive that I have for this pleasure, with something that's healthy, with something that pleases you. And then lastly, simply ask God to renew you. One of my favorite parts about that Titus passage and we're going to talk about this so much over the next few weeks, is that you and I, when we're in Christ, we're actually in Christ, and he's actually in us. And that Titus passage speaks of the fact that the Spirit of God washes and regenerates us and renews us. And I don't understand that, but man, is it amazing. So be renewed this morning. Ask God to renew you, to take away the desire for that pleasure, or to supplant that desire with something else. And be renewed. Be forgiven. You know, you can still have honey. Just don't seek it. Let God bring it your way. Don't look at pleasure as an end. Because pleasure, no matter how good, if not kept in balance, will distort reality and destroy appetite. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your counsel in the middle of Proverbs chapter 25. And certainly it's a principle that's repeated over and over again in scriptures. And God, I pray that we understand that this world offers us so many avenues for pleasure. So many ways in which there's almost like a siren call for us. But remind us, may we be reminded of the rocks, of the dangers, of seeking pleasure that doesn't come through the relationship that we have with you, and within the boundaries and guidelines and guardrails that you have established for us. Thank you for your willingness to give us pleasure, to allow us to experience pleasure. But let us not pursue it in a way that causes us to vomit. So Father, I pray that as we sing in a minute, that you would move us to repent, to replace, to be renewed. Maybe there's somebody in our lives that we need to go and talk to, that we need to share this truth with them because they're on a path that's going to lead to brokenness. I'm thankful for those who have decided, even this morning, I'm going to go in a different direction. Or those who are struggling with what area of their life they're struggling with and are already on that path a little bit. God, I pray you sustain them and continue them. Father, whatever we need from you, I pray we receive it. In Jesus' name, amen.